There are only two kinds of people, male and female. But there is more to consider. Here's Pastor Jeff.
Adam and Eve had used their free will to choose against God, to choose against His word, to choose against His love, to choose against His commandments. And now they're hiding in the trees. Adam, where are you? You know, there are only two places to be. You're either hiding from God or you're walking with God. There is no middle ground. I believe that the Lord is looking today and He has this question for you. Where are you?
He can heal every scar.
Genesis chapter 3 is often ridiculed and scoffed at by skeptics of the Bible. But we're here today to tell you that Genesis chapter 3 is true. And it's also a key chapter to unlocking the mysteries between the sexes, revolving around one command concerning forbidden fruit. And that's the title of today's message from the series Understanding the Sexes, God's Blueprint for Men and Women. This is From His Heart with Pastor Jeff Shreve, and today he's going to conclude this straightforward lesson about how to heal broken marriages and hurting families. If you missed part one from yesterday, then you can listen again online anytime at fromhisheart.org. Click the radio tab. Now, though, open your Bible to the third book of Genesis. Here's Pastor Jeff Shreve with an important lesson about the destruction that comes when we're attracted to the forbidden fruit.
Now, there's so much truth in this chapter, but I want you to notice with me three warnings that are found in Genesis chapter 3. Warning number one, beware of the devil. Beware of the devil. Now, as we read and you read Genesis chapter 3, verse 1, it starts right off the bat with a serpent who speaks to Eve. And he comes in disguise and he comes to Eve to deceive her. So all of a sudden, in one question, the first crack out of the box, he causes her to doubt. How does the devil get you to sin? First of all, he gets you to doubt that God is good, that God has a good plan, that God is a God that keeps His word. Beware the devil. He comes in disguise. He comes to deceive. He wants you to doubt God. He wants you to believe a lie. He wants you to focus on that which is forbidden. Once he said all that to her, then she had her eyes set on the tree and on the fruit. Now, we don't know what fruit it was. It has been told for centuries and surmised for centuries that it was an apple. We don't know that for sure. Some people say it was a pomegranate. Some said it was a fig. I don't believe it was a fig because they sewed fig leaves together and they made themselves loin coverings. And so I don't think they would do that with the tree. They'd be like, no, we've had enough of that tree. Let's not make anything else out of the tree, right? So I think an apple is as good as anything. But the scripture says once the devil got her to doubt God and once the devil got her to believe his lie, then she began to fixate on that which God said no. On the one command where God says no, she is focused on that. And it says, when the woman saw that the tree was good for food, that it was a delight to the eyes, that it was desirable to make one wise. What does that sound like? Sounds like the three bullets in the devil's gun. 1 John chapter 2. For all that is in the world, the lust of the flesh is good for food, delight to the eyes, boastful pride of life, lust of the flesh, lust of the eyes, boastful pride of life. Those are the three bullets in his gun. Those are the three things. She saw that the tree was good for food, that it was a delight to the eyes, that it was desirable to make one wise. It's the boastful pride of life. I'm going to be like God. Man, she was sunk because she began to fixate on that which was forbidden. Now, this is kind of interesting. Think about this. When God gave the command and said, you shall not eat of that tree, he told them, gave them the prohibition, said, don't do it. And he told them what would happen if they did it. The day you eat from it, you shall surely die. But you know what he didn't tell them? He didn't tell them why. Why? Well, why, God? Why can't I eat of that fruit? God is not, he's not really into why. He doesn't tell us a lot of why. So here's the question. Because this is what was going on in Eve's mind. When the devil told her all that stuff, when she started looking at this, then it started to say, well, this looks good. This looks like something God would want me to have. This fruit is good. It's good for food. It's delightful to the eyes. It's going to make me wise. Well, why wouldn't God want me to have that? Why doesn't God tell them why at the start? Hey, why does God let the devil in the Garden of Eden? Why does God even plant a tree of the knowledge of good and evil? Why have that at all? Because if you don't have that at all, you have no fall. The answer is this. God made men and women in his image. And in his image means that they have the power of choice. They have the ability to make a moral choice. Choices about moral things. And God did not make Adam and Eve robots. God wants Adam and Eve to make wise choices. He wants Adam and Eve to choose to love him and choose to obey him. But you can't choose God and choose to love God and choose to obey God unless there's a choice to not love God and to not obey God. And so that's why God planted that tree. Because God said, I don't want you to love me because you have to. I want you to love me because you choose to love me. And so I need to give you a choice, and I need to let the tempter come in, and I want you to choose me. And God didn't tell them the why. And so because they didn't have the why, she didn't have the why. All she did was begin to focus on this fruit that was so good. And it says that she took of the tree and she looked at it and she longed for it and she wanted it. And she ate. Who wants a bite? Man, this is good. I'm spitting all over myself. This is good. Adam, I'm not dead. Here, you take a bite. And so Adam's like, pretty good. That's good, Eve. And they ate of the fruit God told them not to eat. Beware of the devil. Warning number two. Beware of the destruction that comes from role reversal. Role reversal. Now, as we've been studying the Genesis account, we find that God made Adam, man, Adam, from the ground, which is Adama, and then he made Eve for Adam. The man was not created for the woman, but the woman was created for the man. The woman came out of man, out from his rib. God made this woman. And man is to lead, and woman is to follow. Man is the head, and woman is the helper. I will make you, Adam, a helper suitable to you. That's very, very clear. You may not like it, but that's the way it is. If you don't like it, don't get mad at me. Take it up with God. I didn't create, he did. And that's the way he made it. In Ephesians chapter 5, Paul says this, wives, be subject to your own husbands as to the Lord. Put yourself under your husbands, under his headship, as you would put yourself under the Lord. For the husband is head of the wife, as Christ also is head of the church, he himself being the Savior of the body. So that's, Eve was made to help Adam, to be under Adam. He was made, Adam, to lead his wife and to love his wife. But as we read in this story, Eve is leading Adam, and Adam is letting her lead. That's not good. That's not good at all. It's never good when the woman is driving the bus and the man is allowing that to happen. She wasn't made to be the head, he was. She wasn't made to drive the bus, he was. She was made to help him, and he's made to be the bus driver, to be the leader, to be the head. And anytime that gets reversed, it is not good. It causes all sorts of problems. I love this about the book of Genesis. Genesis chapter 2, 24 talks about the big verse on marriage. For this cause a man shall leave his father and mother and cleave to his wife, and the two shall become one flesh. For this cause, who leaves his father and mother? A man. You say, well, isn't a woman supposed to leave her father and mother? Let me show you how God cares for women and how God made women, and he made them different from a man. God made a woman to always be protected, to always have a head, so to speak, a head of protection. And a woman in the design is born into a family with mom and dad, and dad's the head. He's the head of the wife. He's the head of the kids. He's the head of the family. And the woman is under the protection, this daughter, under the protection of her dad's headship, her dad's umbrella, so to speak, his umbrella of authority. The man, boy growing up in a family, he gets to of age. He leaves the family. For this cause, a man shall leave his father and mother, and he sets up his own home, and he gets a job, and he becomes gainfully employed. And then he finds a wife who is under the protection of her dad, and he brings his umbrella of protection, and he takes that girl under his umbrella of protection, and then they go and they set up shop, and she is always to be protected by a head, by a hedge, by an umbrella of protection. She is not made to be the head. That's just the way God designed it. God loves women, and women are so special and so wonderful, but they're not meant to drive the bus. And if you're in a home where the wife is driving the bus and husband, you're in the back of the bus watching video games and playing on the computer, you need to switch that in a heartbeat, because you're on the road to destruction. Beware of the destruction that comes from role reversal. It says she gave also to her husband with her, and he ate. Now, Adam, the whole time that Eve is talking to this shining one, where's Adam? He's with her. He's watching the whole thing. He doesn't intervene. He doesn't say, hey, wait a minute. And the scripture makes it clear she was deceived. He wasn't deceived. She ate, why? Because she was deceived, thinking that she was not going to die but fly. Why did he do it? He followed his wife into sin. He wasn't deceived. Robert Lewis from Men's Fraternity says this. He says, Adam did something so terrible and so horrible. He was there with his wife, and when she was looking at the fruit and when she was getting ready to bite the fruit, instead of stopping her, he said, perhaps this went through his mind. Well, if she eats it and dies, then I'll know that God was telling the truth. But if she eats it and she doesn't die, and she becomes like God, well, then I'll eat it too. And so he used her as a guinea pig. Does that sound like a lover and a leader like he's supposed to be? No, not at all. And so it's not good. And when God comes down on the scene, here they are, they ate of the fruit, their eyes are open, they know they're naked. And so then they sew fig leaves together to hide themselves, to cover themselves, because they're naked. And then when God comes down in the cool of the day, in verse 8, the Bible says, and they heard the sound of the Lord God walking in the garden in the cool of the day, and the man and his wife hid themselves from the presence of the Lord. And God comes to Adam and says, Adam, where are you? And then Adam says, well, I heard the sound of you in the garden, and I was naked. So I was afraid because I was naked, so I hid myself. And God says, who told you you were naked? Have you eaten of the tree of which I commanded you not to eat? And what does Adam, who was created to be the leader, the man, what does he say? The woman whom thou gavest to be with me. God, you're coming to me. What are you coming to me for? I didn't do nothing. It's her. She did it all. This woman that you gave me to be with her. The one I was so excited about in Genesis chapter 2, now she's gotten me in trouble, and so I'm not so excited about it anymore. And so what does Adam do? He starts to play the blame game. He starts to try and say, it's her fault, God. I'm just a victim here. Robert Lewis, the writer of Men's Fraternity, says that Adam becomes a whimpering doofus, just like that. He just begins to blame. He begins to play the victim card. I hate it when people play the victim card, don't you? Don't you just hate it when people say, it's not my fault. I spilled coffee on my lap. I'm suing McDonald's. How dare they make hot coffee? It's not my fault. I'm fat, but it's not my fault. How dare Burger King put calories in the Whopper? I mean, we just blame everybody. I hate that. Take responsibility for your life. God's not buying any of it. God puts the screws to Adam. God holds you responsible for your actions and for your role. Curses are coming on you, Adam. Why? Because you listened to the voice of your wife. You let her lead. You can't blame her, and he tried to blame God, the woman whom you gave to be with me. You can't blame somebody. You can't play the victim. You can't be the whimpering doofus. And God says, well, it's okay. You're just a whimpering doofus. What can I do with you? No, no, no. I'm gonna put the screws to you, boy. I made you to be the head coach. Hey, when the team's having trouble, who does the owner go talk to? The water boy? No, he goes to talk to the head coach because the head coach is in charge. And guys, you're the head coach of your family. If your family's falling apart, it's not your wife's fault. It's not your kid's fault. You look in the mirror. You're supposed to take control. And you're supposed to be the leader. And if things are falling apart, you look in the mirror and you say, God, what am I doing wrong? God, have I let go of the steering wheel? I had a guy in my office some years ago, and his family was falling apart, and his daughter was involved in sexual immorality. And he told me, he said, well, you know, it's not my fault. Her mother let her do all that stuff. And I said, baloney, it's your fault. It's your fault. You're the head coach. You can't blame the assistant coach. And God's not, he's not going to accept that because he's coming to you, guy. He came to the man. He didn't come to the woman. He came to the man. What is this you have done, Adam? Wow, it is serious business. Hey, beware of the destruction that comes from role reversal. And thirdly, beware the consequences that come from sin. The eyes, the day you eat of it, you shall surely die. But the devil said, no, no, no. God knows that when you eat of that fruit, your eyes will be opened and you will be like God, knowing good and evil. And when they ate of the fruit, you know what it says? Their eyes were open, just like the devil told them. But they didn't become like God. They became like the devil. He went up against God. He rebelled against God. Did he become like God? Did he overthrow God? Did he say, God, I don't need you now because I've come up against you and now I am God? Uh-uh. He got kicked out. He didn't become God. Lucifer, the star of the morning, became Satan, the father of the night. That's what happened to him. And so here, Adam and Eve, my eyes are open, but now my eyes are open to what? I know I'm naked. Let me tell you what happens when you sin. Number one, sin brings self-consciousness. It brings an awareness of self. Your eyes will be open and you will know that you're naked. You know what's interesting about that? Adam and Eve were naked before, right? They were naked before. It wasn't like all of a sudden they ate of the fruit and they lost their clothes. They were naked and they were not ashamed. But now they know they're naked. What happened with that? You know why they didn't know they were naked before? Because they weren't focused on themselves. They were focused on the Lord. They were focused on his goodness. They were focused on all the wonderful things that God had made for them. And they weren't focused on self. But when sin comes, there's a self-consciousness. And life becomes all about me. Life's all about Jesus. Life is all about the Lord. It's not about you and it's not about me, but here they are and they sin and life now becomes all about self. And that's what sin does. You think it's all about you, what you like, what you don't like. Sin brings self-consciousness. Sin brings shame. Genesis 2:25, and the man and his wife were both naked and were not ashamed. But now they ate of the fruit and now they're naked and they sew fig leaves together to try and cover their nakedness and there's shame. Shame follows sin as night follows day. The people who sin the most have the most guilt and shame on their lives. Sin just makes you feel ashamed. The man and his wife were both naked and they were not ashamed, but when they ate of the fruit, they knew they were naked and there was shame there. And sin brings separation. When God comes down in the cool of the day, what happens to Adam and Eve? Well, they had fig leaves and they said, we're pretty good. We have fig leaves to cover our nakedness. But then the fig leaves didn't seem to be enough. And so when God came down, Adam and Eve began to run and hide in the trees and the leaves and the bushes. And God says, Adam, Adam, where are you? It's the voice of wounded love. It's the voice of a God whose heart was broken because the crown of his creation, Adam and Eve, had used their free will to choose against God, to choose against his word, to choose against his love, to choose against his commandments. And now they're hiding in the trees. Adam, where are you? Sin always brings shame and it brings separation, separation between us and God. Isaiah chapter 59, verse 1 says, the Lord's hand is not so short that he cannot save, neither is his ear so dull that he cannot hear, but your sins, your iniquities have made a separation between you and your God, and your sins have hidden his face from you so that he does not hear, he will not hear. There's a separation that comes because of sin. And now Adam and Eve, they used to love to walk with God in the cool of the day, but now they're hiding from God, and God wants to know, where are you? You know, there are only two places to be. You're either hiding from God or you're walking with God. There is no middle ground. I believe that the Lord is looking today and he has this question for you. Where are you?
Does your sin still separate you from God? Well, we hope that today's message opened up your heart and mind, and if it did, then it wasn't the program, of course, but it was the Holy Spirit's conviction, urging you to place your faith and your trust in Jesus Christ alone. If you don't know how to do that, and you want to know some next steps to take, we invite you to go to fromhisheart.org, click the Why Jesus tab. There's a special section there that'll give you all kinds of information and help you in your journey to Christ, and also some free downloads to help you as well. It's right on the homepage, and there you'll find some answers that God wants you to find, and you'll discover the peace that passes understanding and the relationship with Christ that he created you to have. Only then will true healing begin for you, for your marriage, for your family. Well, as you've been listening this month to From His Heart, you know that Pastor Jeff Shreve is preaching messages that are directed at the family and marriage in particular. There is no greater gift, men, that we can give our spouses than to love God more and treat them like the precious treasures they are to us. And to help you do that, we're offering Pastor Jeff's powerful series this month called Understanding the Sexes, God's Blueprint for Men and Women. It's our thank you for your support this month. Now, if divorce is something you have, are, or might consider to solve what you see as impossible obstacles in your marriage, then you'll also want to get the two-message set called Till Death Do Us Part, What God Says About Marriage and Divorce. And we'll send you both of those, all eight messages, when you make your gift today. Just call 866-40-BIBLE, 866-40-BIBLE, or call fromhisheart.org and request Till Death Do Us Part, What God Says About Marriage and Divorce and Understanding the Sexes. And thank you for your support of any amount this month. Pastor Jeff receives no income from this ministry. Your support is the foundation of our outreach to broadcast truth, love, and hope every day right here on this station and around the world. So thank you, and God bless you. Now, this weekend, we invite you to find the TV station in your community that airs the From His Heart television broadcast. The program is available nationwide on many major U.S. networks, also in 182 countries around the world. Just go to fromhisheart.org, locate the station and the time in your area. Well, time is up for today, but we hope that you'll be with us again next time as Pastor Jeff Shreve will again open up God's Word to share real truth, real love, and real hope from God's heart. Here on From His Heart. From His Heart is the listener-supported broadcast ministry of Dr. Jeff Shreve, speaking the truth in love to to a lost and hurting world. Remember, no matter what, God loves you. He has a wonderful plan for your life, and you can find out about that when you go to fromhisheart.org.